When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. This is Jeremy Betts back with you again, joined as always by Andrew Wilbar. We broke down the AFC South a little bit earlier this week. We're breaking down the NFC South draft needs right now. And Andrew, this is a division where one team rose above the rest last year, and it was because they had surprisingly good quarterback play. But how do you see this division overall, Andrew? Has there been a shift in power in this division in the AFC South, and what is kind of the overview of this division and how they might pursue the draft?
I'd say the overview of this is that it's very easy to look ahead in this division because it is you're walking on a plane in this division. Everything is pretty straightforward. The bunch of okay teams that aren't great, and really you really don't have any true Super Bowl contenders in this division right now, but for a couple teams, they may be one good draft away from that happening. And a couple other teams, they just need to figure out who they have at the quarterback position, what they are, what their identity is going forward. And they need to figure that out first before maybe contending in 2025.
Yes, absolutely. And let's start with the team that had the best year, made the playoffs, won their division, won a playoff game against a rapidly descending Philadelphia Eagles team. And that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They bring back Baker Mayfield, Andrew, on a three-year, $100 million deal. Honestly, it's not bad for a quarterback who is kind of in that maybe third tier of player, right? But, I mean, the top quarterbacks are making $55 million a year now. So this isn't a bad deal for the Buccaneers, and not a bad deal for Baker Mayfield either, who resurrects his career. And then you re-sign Mike Evans. You keep him in the fold. You re-sign Levante David. You get Jordan Whitehead from the Jets at safety, and Antoine Winfield, you tag him. So kind of running it back again, but also adding some players here to help you out and to maybe take you to the next level. Is this one of those teams where you think a good draft can take them to another level, or are they hindered a little bit? Where do you see them going in this draft?
I think they can, but it's going to be very telling for Tampa Bay which direction they go, because they can choose to set their offense in place for the future and get a wide receiver since they're not set there long term, even though that's not an immediate need, or they can go all in right now and fix some of the immediate holes they have on the defense. I'm looking at edge rusher. I'm looking at corner after losing Carlton Davis. They could use another corner. I think the Buccaneers are ideally hoping that Bryce Hall from the Jets, brought in from the Jets, can potentially fill that role on the outside. Similar play style to Carlton Davis, but I think they still need to add more depth there. They don't have a true guy outside of Dean at this point. They need to get another dude on the outside that can play on the perimeter. And they've lost a lot of pieces at edge rusher too. I gave them Leatu Latu in mock 3.0, which you can find on fansfirstsports.com. I think that Latu would be an ideal fit for them. Tampa Bay has tried with Tryon, a guy named Tryon, Joe Tryon, as well as other guys who had some size off the edge, but guys who can still play comfortably in that 3-4 stand-up edge rusher position. I don't think Latu is going to be going as high as what we originally thought he could go. The injury is going to scare some teams off. Remember, Jalen Phillips fell further than what people thought in the draft. There have been other guys that have gone down the board because of medical concerns. And you think of guys like Gregory Rousseau in that same draft, who's just inconsistent. There's a lot of edge rushers that tend to fall down draft boards, even in classes that aren't the strongest, like this one. Edge rusher, I think there's some decent depth. But if you're looking at just what teams need in the first round, Tampa Bay should have some sort of option there, whether it's Chop Robinson, who I think at this point could very well go ahead of Latu, or Leatu Latu. I think one of those guys could make a lot of sense for them in the back end of the first. They've got to get more pass rush. That'd be a huge help to that defense and keeping that defense formidable. But I wouldn't rule out the possibility of receiver. If Xavier Worthy is there, would they consider someone like a Xavier Worthy who could add immediate balance to the passing game, add that speed concept that they don't really have right now? They have two guys on the outside. But remember, Chris Godwin, he can do a little bit of everything, but he's not locked up more than 1 year. Mike Evans only has 2 years left. So they've got to add somebody else. If they decide to go bigger body, maybe they wait until day two and get a guy like Keon Coleman. I think he'd be a good fit for them. If they wait until corner on day two, Drew Phillips is a guy that I think makes a lot of sense. But if I'm Tampa Bay, there's three positions I'm honing in on. It's receiver, it's corner, it's edge. Unfortunately, those are three really important positions in the modern game of the NFL. But those are, I think, especially receiver and corner, those line up as good spots in this draft for Tampa Bay. It, like we've talked about before, it's a pretty deep draft. Not as deep as what we originally thought, but it's still a deep draft, much deeper than last year. And they're going to have options. They're going to have opportunities to cash in. Maybe if they get a chance to trade back, if Michael Penix is still on the board and the team wants to move up, say the Raiders move up in the back end of the first, Tampa Bay could be a team that'd be willing to trade back, get some extra assets, and get a similar player at the top of the second round.
Yeah, I see a guy like Kool-Aid McKinstry at the corner who could be in play at that range. I think Tampa has done a very good job, honestly, of putting themselves in a position to win now, but also in a position to draft for the future. And I think that it's been important for them to be able to do that. Baker Mayfield, was it a 1 year wonder? We'll see if that's been the case, if that was the case, and maybe this contract looks ugly in the similar vein to Daniel Jones in a couple years. But I think you had to pay him. You had to make that move. They could be a team that takes a quarterback later on in the draft as kind of an insurance policy there, maybe a developmental prospect. But I think the Buccaneers are in good shape for the season and look to be a team on the rise as well. Let's move on to the New Orleans Saints, Andrew, who maybe the opposite. They seem like a team that kind of that hasn't done a lot. They maybe fallen down a little bit. Their stock is dropping. At least that's how I see it. But you bring in you re-sign DeMario Davis. You bring in Willie Gay Jr., linebacker from the Kansas City Chiefs, who I know was one of your favorites in this free agency cycle. You re-sign Tyrann Mathieu at safety. You add Chase Young. It's kind of been some role players for this team, not a lot of huge splashy signings. Where do you see the Saints going, Andrew? Could they be a sneaky quarterback team, or is this something that they would address down the road?
I think they should be a sneaky quarterback team, but they've invested so much into Derek Carr, I'm not sure that they'd be willing to admit it. And I know they've done a little bit of work on this quarterback class, but I don't know that they're in a great position to be able to land one of the top guys. I don't know that, in my eyes, Bo Nix would not be ideal value in the first round, nor would Michael Penix Jr. with the injury concerns. So if I'm New Orleans, what I would just throw out there for New Orleans is if you're going to be that team that wants to take a mid-round quarterback on a guy like, say, Spencer Rattler in maybe the third round, the Saints are one of those teams I could actually say, that makes sense. Yeah. Because they don't have a lot of assets to be able to throw at the position right now because they have so many other areas they need to improve. But that would be one way they could potentially throw. I'm not going to say it's just throw a shot in the dark, but a guy who's at least shown flashes of potentially being really good. He'd be a fit. Not the tallest guy, not the biggest guy, but we've seen guys there like Drew Brees be able to do that before and succeed at that position without being ideal size. I think he'd be a good fit in New Orleans. I think the fans would really like him and his demeanor, but they still need to add some more help on the offensive line. There's a lot of things unknown about left tackle because Trevor Penning, there's still concerns about him. I think that they need to add someone there. If at that point in the draft, I know they haven't been a popular mock for offensive linemen, as much as I would have thought, but I would say maybe a guy like an Olufa Faushanu could be in that range. I think another guy, Amarius Mims, that may be a little hot, but if the Saints have a chance to trade back, why wouldn't you? You got a lot of holes to fill. Trade back to 20 to 23 range, and you can still probably get a guy like Mims or a Tyler Guyton. That would be a guy if they're looking for specifically left tackle. He would make a lot of sense for them as a developmental guy. They can still give Penning longer time. but they need to put a little bit more emphasis on that position if they want to help out Derek Carr and some of their skill players. I mean, we saw them get rid of Michael Thomas. Alvin Kamara is not getting any younger. Of course, they brought in Kendra Miller last year. I don't think they need to add another running back. But the defensive line, the interior of the defensive line, could still use a little more beef. If Tavondre Sweat is there, he could really help their run defense. And their defense has been solid the past couple of years under Dennis Allen. They still were able to put together some good defenses. But just adding that extra guy who can help defend the run, I think Tavondre Sweat could be a guy they target on day two. And just for a luxury pick, Jeremy, just for a luxury pick.
Yeah.
What would you think of Xavier Worthy in the first round? I'm not saying it's a total luxury because they do need depth at wide receiver, but I'm not sure he's the best complement to Olave. I will say, though, having that speed on the offense could really allow them to stretch the field. Maybe Xavier Worthy could be the guy that the Raiders hoped they were giving Derek Carr when they drafted Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, could be. I just don't see him going that early. Honestly, Xavier Worthy, if I'm putting my projection out there, I don't know he's a first round pick. I know he ran super fast and you know, fastest ever at the combine, but I just think he has limitations to his game with his size and in other areas. But maybe a guy like A.D. Mitchell, Andrew, could be somebody that intrigues them, and that would be a little high for him. But Brian Thomas Jr. as well, as kind of that fourth receiver in that range. I think that he kind of goes in the mid-teens there. But yeah, I think tackle probably makes the most sense for them early. And they could use help on defense as well, bringing in some edge, some pass rush help. Also at corner, Marcus Lattimore is not getting younger. I think that he's a player that could you could kind of draft to replace, if you will, down the road, and maybe a corner in that range. Tarion Arnold should be there at 14, and I wouldn't mind taking him there at 14, especially if Quinyon Mitchell's already gone, but maybe Mitchell's still there too, and you have a shot at him. We'll see. But I do think the Saints have a lot of needs. They're, to me, the team that, outside of the Panthers, who you still don't know at quarterback for the Panthers, and we'll get to them in a minute. Outside of the Panthers in this division, they seem like the team maybe looking for a downturn, because I don't necessarily believe in Derek Carr as much as maybe the Saints might. I know Saints fans, some Saints fans are not in the Derek Carr camp as well. So we'll see how that plays out for the Saints. But Andrew, let's get to the Falcons, who finished third in their division last year, but maybe made the biggest signing of the offseason here, bringing in Kirk Cousins, definitely the prize of the quarterback market in free agency. 4-year, $180 million contract. This is a 36-year-old player, though, so this it feels obviously it's a deal that they can probably get out of after 2 years, but this feels like the Falcons see themselves as a roster that can compete right away. And you bring in Cousins, you bring in Darnell Mooney, a fantastic signing, in my opinion, at wide receiver for Kirk Cousins to complement Drake London on the outside. And then Storm Norton re-signs. Charlie Werner, tight end, signs on a 3-year contract. You also get wide receiver Rondale Moore, Andrew. This is a team that brings back some of their own, but also had a good offensive free agency signings as well. Does this feel like it's a bunch of defense for the Falcons in this draft?
I think so. And we've talked about several teams, if you've been listening to our draft previews, of teams that prioritize the defense and free agency because it is an offensive-heavy draft. It's like the Falcons did the exact opposite. We're going to get the offensive guys and the skill guys, which when you're bringing in a veteran quarterback, that makes sense. You want guys that are proven, guys that aren't going to take as long to adapt, and they're just going to be ready to go from the get-go. So I understand their philosophy there. I would say that they really need to hope Dallas Turner is there and that the Titans or another team doesn't take him ahead of them. Because when you talk about Raheem Morris and his scheme, I think Dallas Turner is a great fit for their defense. You think of a guy like Terrell Lewis, a former player at Alabama who had some success with the Rams. I see a lot of similarities athletically from Terrell Lewis to Dallas Turner. And let's not forget Terrell Lewis, if not for all the injuries he had in college, probably would have been a first-round pick in his own right because he is an athletic specimen. So I think Dallas Turner is a guy who comps well, maybe not from a perfect athletic standpoint, but from a guy who has similar play style, similar strengths in his game, and being able to win with speed, being able to have some moves to be able to get there, not just win with speed. I think that he's a guy that would fit great in Raheem Morris's system and really it's Dallas Turner or bust in the first round when I'm looking at the other options. Because if you're Atlanta, what do you really have to do on offense? You could always add an extra piece on the offensive line, but how much is that really going to do you? You can't guarantee that you're going to be able to trade out of there either. Maybe you move out for a team that moves up to get that. I think all four quarterbacks are off the board by this point, though. So unless some team's moving up to get Bo Nix, which I don't think's happening. I don't know about you, Jeremy. I would certainly hope not. I don't know if they're going to find a suitor per se to move up, unless it's just, you know, maybe a mini move up and they move up a couple of spots. But even then, are you going to take Byron Murphy at pick 10, 11, maybe even 12? That's too high for me personally. I'm not taking him that high. And you're talking about corners. I would say the second best option, if Dallas Turner is gone, would probably be Quinion Mitchell from Toledo. You've got to get a playmaker on the defense in the first round. If not, it's a loss of a draft for the Atlanta Falcons. You've got to come away with several defensive playmakers, and that starts at pick 8.
It does. I was going to say Quinion Mitchell if you do miss out on Dallas Turner. If you miss out on Dallas Turner, I think that Quinion Mitchell is definitely a good consolation prize. 8 might be a little high for him, but I would say if you miss out on Dallas Turner, you're looking for somebody to jump the Bears for Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers or whoever that third wide receiver is. Maybe you try to get somebody to bite on that apple and move back. But I like this Falcons team. I think that they've put together quite a solid unit. I would put them as the favorites in the NFC South, and I think that they could improve that standing if they have a really good draft. If they land Dallas Turner in the first round, Andrew, that gives them a lot of flexibility also for the rest of the draft to just add pieces that fill roles or that can be future plays as well. This is a team that looks to be in good shape. I love the coaching hires that they made this offseason. But Andrew, is there a need on offense that kind of stands out here? Would you add a complimentary piece in the backfield to Bijan Robinson, or do you like what they have there? Or do you think that maybe a wide receiver could even be in play at some point in this draft for them as a complement to Drake London?
I think a receiver could be in play at some point. I don't think it would be until day 3. When you're just looking at what they did this offseason of bringing in a guy like Ray McLeod, Kadarrell Hodge, Darnell Mooney, and even Rondale Moore, who I think is going to have a role in this team. But maybe you get a guy, another big guy on the outside, similar to a Drake London. I think a guy like Bub Means would make a lot of sense, a thickly built wide receiver on the outside, a guy I really like in that fourth round range. Brennan Rice is another guy, obviously the son of Jerry Rice, could be in play for them on early day 3. I think either of those guys would make a lot of sense. At running back, I think Tyler Allgeier got too much work as is and took too much work away last year from Bijan Robinson. So I don't think they need to add someone. Maybe they can get a Keaton Mitchell type guy in undrafted free agency. We see good running backs go off the board in, you know, undrafted free agency. I think Jawar Jordan is a guy. He didn't run as fast as what I thought. Doesn't have that super great explosiveness, but a guy who was productive in college. He was efficient. And I think he's a guy who's a little scat back who can catch passes out of the backfield. I think he'd be a good complement as a running back 3 in that running back room behind Robinson and Allgeier. He'd be an ideal fit for a guy like Atlanta in either the 7th round, or you may even be able to get him undrafted.
Yeah, I like Allgeier in that backfield, but I do think you want to round out that room a little bit now that you've lost Cordarrelle Patterson as well to the Steelers via free agency. Did Jerry Rice make the ultimate mistake with his kid not naming him Jerry? Because it seems like all these legacy players that are
Joey Porter Jr., Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, did him dirty, Jerry.
So Jeremy, would you ever name if you ever have a son? Would you ever name your son Jeremy Betts Jr.?
Oh, I don't know about that, JBJ.
I couldn't do that. Like, I'm never gonna have a kid named Andrew Wilbar Jr. I'm just not. I don't want that.
No, I don't think so. Like, that would just, especially for me. I never was that good at anything to be able to.
And you don't want your kid walking in your own shadow like the rest of your life either.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Maybe good on Jerry Rice. Let his kid have his own name. Hey, we'll see how it plays out. Yeah. All right. Hey, let's move to the last team in our discussion here, and this is the Carolina Panthers. And Andrew, this is a team with a lot to lose in 2024 because they spent the first overall pick last year on a quarterback, and they traded up to do so, and it was nothing like they were hoping for in 2023. So what do they do this year? They go out and get him some weapons. They get Diontae Johnson in a trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers, then send over Dante Jackson and a six-round pick for him. They bring in wide receiver David Moore. They do some work on the offensive line. Robert Hunt signs a big deal at guard, of all places. Damian Lewis signs a big deal for the Panthers as well. And then A'shaun Robinson at defensive tackle. They bring in Jadeveon Clowney on the edge. Josie Jewell at linebacker. I'm just going through this list. It's a lot of names here. Troy Hill at corner. Dane Jackson. Really good pickup there in Dane Jackson, I think, in the cornerback room after losing out on Dante Jackson. But Andrew, what do the Panthers do here? They don't have a first-round pick. Their first selection is at pick 33. What are they attacking first? Because to me, it's all about Bryce Young. You've got to build around him and get him some weapons, get him some protection. What do you do here?
They have needs on the defensive side of the ball. They need to add an edge rusher. They lost Brian Burns. You got to get more help on the edge. Corner is a position they need. But I'm still looking. I think they could afford to add maybe one extra piece. They could even afford to add some depth at center, if we're being perfectly honest. But I think wide receiver is still a position that has to be addressed. I know you have Jonathan Mingo. I know that they just traded for Diontae Johnson. But as we learned, Jeremy, you know as well as I do, that Diontae Johnson is not in wide receiver one. And the Steelers have learned that. It took them a long time to finally admit it. But they finally learned it, and they proved that when they just traded him for Dante Jackson. So Carolina needs to replace Dante Jackson, but there's corner options on day two. I don't think they need to worry about that. But one guy that I think could be really good value for what they need right now, yes, I think it would help if they got a really big-bodied wide receiver, but a guy who can do a little bit of everything in the third round, at the top of the third round, I gave him to the Panthers at Mach 3.0, pick 65, and that's Jalen Polk from Washington. Yeah. A guy who is tough, a guy who doesn't drop very many passes. He's got good hand-eye coordination. He can high point the football. He's willing to do the dirty work, and that's exactly what Carolina needs. A guy like Jonathan Mingo, who had a share of drops in college. Diontae Johnson, not the most sure-handed guy. You bring in a guy like Jalen Polk, a guy who's very rarely going to drop the football for you. He's going to bring some consistency to that wide receiver room. I think he would be a nice addition to a team that needs a lot. You can't trust Adam Thielen at this point in his career. There's just not a whole lot. Yeah. The cupboard is pretty empty. I think Terrace Marshall can officially be called a bust, and there's really not a whole lot else. You've got to get Bryce Young some help. I like their signings at guard. Of course, they have prospects on the outsides at tackle. I think that they're going to be fine on the offensive line. But get them one more weapon. Get them a true weapon. If Brock Bowers falls enough in the first round, trade back into the first round and get him a Brock Bowers and get him an elite weapon. I don't think that would be a bad move for Carolina. Even if you're forgoing all the needs that you have on defense, Jeremy, the corner and the edge and all of that, Carolina, you're not competing for a Super Bowl in 2024, and you know that. So just figure out what you have in Bryce Young first. Give him a chance to prove himself, and then fix the defense next offseason. Get whatever you need to do. If that means trading up to get an elite playmaker like a Brock Bowers or a receiver that falls, or whatever the case may be, get Bryce Young everything he needs. Don't just skimp on wide receiver. Well, we trade for Diontae Johnson. He's a proven veteran. And Adam Thielen, he's had success in the league, even though he's 55 years old. And we'll go out and about to get all these little guys. Go all in on a guy. I would be totally fine if Carolina shipped their second, their third, and maybe even a future pick to go up and get an elite playmaker in this draft like a Bowers, because they've got to do that for Bryce Young and just see what you have in him, because that's the only goal they have this year. You have to figure out what you have in Bryce Young. And I do think Dave Canales was a good hire for them, by the
way. Yes, I agree with that. I like Canales. I like his vision. I like his energy, and I think he's going to be a welcome addition there at the head coach position. Andrew, let's talk about one other thing with this Panthers team. I'm looking at the running back room, and I'm looking at Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard, Tariq Cohen. Are you satisfied with that if you're going into the season and you want to give your young quarterback as much help as possible? Could they be a team that goes after a running back in this draft? We haven't talked a lot of running backs, but I think there's some good ones here. Could this be a team looking for a running back?
Absolutely. I think they're going to add one at some point. I would say we know that you can get running backs on day three. And I would be perfectly fine with them waiting to. A guy like Keylon Robinson from Texas on day three could be a guy they could target. I think would be it would add some balance to that backfield. At pick 65, that's where I think the sweet spot is for running backs in this class. And if I'm just throwing this out there, Blake Corum is there. I think he's a home run hit because he's ready to step in from day one and be that guy. Yeah. Whether you got Miles Sanders, or Miles Sanders has improved as the pass catcher, and they have other guys, Tariq Cohen. I didn't even know that he was still in the league, to be perfectly honest with you. And they've got some other guys that can catch passes. And that's not that Blake Corum can't, but you got to get a guy that can take on some a workload and take some pressure off Bryce Young. And if there's a guy in this draft that can do that, it's him. Backup, if Carolina was looking for someone made back into the round three, if they decide to move up for a guy, or they just wait until the fourth round, I think Braylon Allen could still be there. If there's a chance Braylon Allen slips to day three. We didn't see what he ran in the 40. We didn't get to see all of his athletic testing. There were some concerns about, you know, how athletic is this guy? How versatile is he? Can he learn to pass block a little bit better? There's some questions, but there's no question about Braylon Allen's ability to carry the rock a lot of times in the game. He wasn't used as much this year as they became more of a spread concept offense at Wisconsin this year. But in previous seasons, when Wisconsin was that under center NFL style old school offense, Braylon Allen was used heavily at times. And there was a time, Jeremy, when we were talking about he could be the next Jonathan Taylor. That hype was a little bit overblown, and he's not Jonathan Taylor, but he could still be a really good running back that can take on a lot of work. And you can utilize him during these rebuilding years to just give him as a guy that can take some of that pressure off Bryce Young. He's a guy I really like for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking for the Panthers, and I think you've got two second-round picks, 33 and 39. You've got 65 in the third round. I think all three of those picks, Andrew, need to be offense. They need to go offense-heavy. You could go offensive tackle. They could use help at offensive tackle. A guy like Patrick Paul at 39, that sounds like a viable option for them. I think if you're the Panthers, it's all about Bryce Young. Load him up, figure out the offense first, and then try to attack the defense. Like you were saying, they're not ready to compete this year. There's going to be plenty of time to do that. And if you're Dave Canales, you didn't draft Bryce Young, right? So I think you have a little bit more leeway here. If you're Canales and if Bryce Young doesn't work out, you could move on from him, but do your best, right? And probably not lose your job if you're Canales, if you have to move on from Young.
I think if there's one way that Carolina could fix it, if they do decide with one of their first three picks to go on the defensive side of the ball, if they decide to go after a guy like, say, Peyton Wilson from NC State.
Sure, yeah.
I think that's one guy who could fix a lot of the problems on their defense immediately because he's ready to step in. He's 24 years old. He's pro-ready. And he'd be a good balance with Josie Jewell, a guy who can come in and stuff the run. You got a guy like Wilson that can run in coverage. That will appease a lot of the needs that they have on this team. They may still give up the big play, and they still may not be great against the run at the front level on the defensive line. But they at least have some guys that can alleviate some of that middle of the field concern. They can take away the tight end. They can limit what good running backs can do to them. And I think that's a way that they could maybe appease some of the issues if they decide to go the defense way. I'm not saying they should. I kind of agree with what you're saying. Go all offense. But if they do decide to go that way, I think Peyton Wilson is a guy that would make a lot of sense for them because I think he could fill multiple roles for them in year one and solve some of the issues they have immediately.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. This is an intriguing division to me. The NFC South, because you're looking at a bad division last year that a couple teams exceeded expectations, but for the most part, it was as advertised. And then I think that there's a lot of excitement about some of these teams. And if you're a Panthers fan, it can't be worse than last year. So we're moving on up. Let's get her done. So, all right. Hey, that's going to do it for us on this episode of the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. Next week, we're going to wrap up our divisional previews with the AFC and NFC West divisions. And then Andrew, you and I are going to break down over the last 2 or 3 weeks. We're just going to break down this draft and really get into it in full. A couple mock drafts so that we're going to go over and just really try to figure this thing out before it happens. But I know I can speak for you as well on this. Let's just get to April 25.
Yes.
It's about time. I want to see how this plays out. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to do it for us here on the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. Be sure to stay tuned to FFSN, the Fans First Sports Network, for all of your NFL draft news, notes, and needs. We'll be back next time, next week. Until then,